Chazal describe the evening, Leil Tisha B'Av, the night of mourning, the night in which we commemorate the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Batei HaMikdash. Chazal call this evening, Kemet Mutal Lefanav. A person is meant to feel on this particular evening as if, Rachmana Litzlan, there is a mace, a deceased, someone who has passed on in front of you. And of course, one has to be metapel b'mace. One has to ensure to look after the burial and the procedures of caring for kavod hamet, for the respect of that deceased person. Indeed, the same type of attitude and feelings we are supposed to have as we approach Tisha B'Av on the night of Tisha B'Av. A state of morose introspect, a state of depression, yet a state of preparedness, whereby we have or instigate a reaction. Interestingly enough, at the beginning of Eicha, Yirmiyahu writes, "Bachol tivkeh balayla v'dimata al lechia." Bachol tivkeh, bechia means to cry. And the obvious question is, why does he use a double language to describe this crying for this evening? The Gemara in Sanhedrin and of Kuf Dalet Amud Bet comments on this verse, "Bachol tivkeh balayla." Shtei bechiyot halalu lama. Why does Yirmiyahu, the author of Eicha, propose two cryings? Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, echad al mikdash rishon ve'echad al mikdash sheni. One bachol is referring to the first Beit HaMikdash, and tivke is referring to the second Beit HaMikdash, both upon which we are crying. Balayla, why does it say Bachot Tivke Balayla on this evening? Says the Gemara, Al Iske Layla. They were dealing with the issue at hand on that evening. Which evening? Says the Gemara, Shneemar Vatisa Kolaida Vaydu Et Kolam Vayivku Ha'am Balayla Hahu. Children of Israel raised their voices and they cried on that particular evening, Balayla Hahu. Let us understand that according to the Gemara, it is quite clear that there is a connection between that evening, as read in Sefer Bamidbar. That evening is referring to the eve upon which the Meraglim, the spies who went forward representing Klal Yisrael, returned to Bnei Yisrael and reported to them that they cannot possibly conquer successfully Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael's reaction was an outburst of crying, was a state of despair, a state of discouragement by which they were convinced that they would not be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And the question is, how exactly did Chazal arrive to connect and correlate the crying that took place on the evening of the Meraglim's return, the crying that transpired around and affected the entire encampment of Am Yisrael, to the crying on Tisha B'Av, the evening upon which it took place, the crying that we experience today for the temple destruction of Yerushalayim? The Ramban asks a question. Why in that pasuk that deals with the Meraglim's return does the Torah say Vayivku Ha'am Balayla Hahu? Klal Yisrael cried on that night. What it should have said grammatically, more correct, would have said Vayivku Ha'am Balayla Hazeh. On this evening they cried. That would have been grammatically correct. Why Balayla Hahu? As if we are talking about on that evening, pointing towards the future. Says the Ramban, That is how Chazal understood that this crying is not referring to only something that transpired historically, but a crying that would transpire in the future as well. On this particular evening, this evening of Leil Tisha B'Av, is a night that is reserved for crying. It is reserved undoubtedly for the reaction of sadness and mourning, of sorrow and pain. And it is a communal feeling that is encompassing of all Am Yisrael. It is not private. It is not reserved. It is a shared state of mourning that resonates of feeling an emotion of depression amongst all of the children of Israel. And therefore, if we recognize that indeed on this evening of Tisha B'Av, we are meant to feel this pain, this sorrow, the mourning, that this light night was reserved as such, both historically to this very day, then we have to beg the question, what is the appropriate response that we should confront the day of Tisha B'Av with? What is the reaction that we should have? The Shabbat that follows Tisha B'Av is called Tishabbat Nachamu, Lenachem, to comfort us. Is it comforting following the destruction of the temple? And how exactly are we meant to comfort one another, both individually and of course as a nation? Chazal explained what it says in Eicha, Bacho Tivkeh. Bacho says to cry. Tivkeh requires of a person to cry even more, accentuating a state of depression, almost as if there is no time for us to recover. We're at a loss. We're at a shock. Balayla. Layla represents darkness. Darkness represents a lack of direction. Misguided. Lost in the thick embers of destruction. How difficult it is for a person to find the response. And yet the response of Am Yisrael is one of resilience. Rav Kook Zatzal explained, Churban Bayit Sheni, Hi Hayesod LeBinyan Bayit Shlishi. The destruction of the second temple is the foundation upon which rests the reconstruction of the third temple. How do we qualify such a statement? What exactly is that supposed to mean, and how is it comforting? And the answer, I believe, that Rav Kook meant to explain, is that regardless of the price that we pay, when the Jewish people appreciate and understand the valuable meaning and lessons of history, then all of which happened to us, regardless of tragic consequences, mean something to us. They teach us a lesson. And when we are taught a lesson, and when we embrace and understand and appreciate the lesson which is taught, then the destruction of history or the tragic consequences that we suffer are not for naught, but rather they beg from us to pick ourselves up once again, to look forward to the future, and to somehow pick the pieces and construct once again the edifice of spirituality. Rav Dessler explains in the Michtav Me'eliyahu that the problem that Bnei Yisrael experienced on the night of the Meraglim when they returned was that they went through what's called a Bichiyah Shel Chinam. Sure, they cried, but they cried a senseless crying. Their crying was unpurposeful. It had no purpose whatsoever, and that is problematic. When we cry, that is not a problem. If the crying arouses a sensitivity, arouses a compassion, and possibly even instills an ideology, then it becomes a productive means of crying. Sure enough, says Rav Dessler, the Meraglim cried for no reason, and that is reason for destruction. And therefore, on this evening, the way we rectify the Meraglim and Klal Yisrael's behavior is we cry with a purpose. We cry as a response to the destruction of the temple, to the upheaval of Yerushalayim. And that in itself is response towards redemption. When we cry with meaning, when we cry in order to arouse a sense of awareness, then the crying becomes constructive, and Emir Tzashem reconstructive. Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, the great sage who lived through the Churban Abayit, lost all of his Talmidim. The Gemara in Yevamot says 26,000 students perished in one particular time. Chalila, we should never know to even fathom such a number of students, of his own children. And what was Rabbi Akiva's reaction? Rabbi Akiva picked himself up and he said that he would re-educate new ones. He took 5 chosen students and once again educate them from scratch. And they became the great leaders of the next generation, of which thousands of students once again re-established themselves. A few weeks ago we spoke about the great Moshe Rabbeinu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs Moshe, Ale Elai El Har HaAvarim, rise up to the Har HaAvarim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that he's going to pass on. He reminds him of his sin. And what is Moshe's reaction? He does not get depressed. He does not sway from a vision, from a purpose. And his immediate concern is, who will be the next leader of Am Yisrael? They cannot be katzon me'ein mireh. They are flock and herd of sheep that needs a shepherd. Who will shepherd them into the future? That is Moshe's concern. Moshe is unswayed from his course of allegiance, from his demonstration of a mission. And this is precisely the attitude and the perspective that we have to embrace as we approach Shabbat Nachamu and walk away and leave Tisha B'Av. The embers of destruction are meant to incite and to encourage us towards reconstruction. I was in a town in Poland called Tarnów, and there was a particular shul in the town, a very large edifice made of stone. And the Nazis, when they left this particular town before the Allies arrived, they attempted to blow up the synagogue, put dynamite in, and they were unsuccessful. But the foundations of the building were so quirky that the government of Poland did not allow anyone to enter inside after the war because they were afraid that any move would cause the building to topple over. And it was supported by beams. So when we passed by the town, we were told not to go into the shul, and of course, I decided that I wanted to get a glimpse of what the inside of the shul looked like. So I snuck around to the back, I went into the shul, and on every wall of the shul, there's a different painting of a city in Eretz Yisrael. I imagine of what people in Poland envisioned that Eretz Yisrael looked like because they hadn't been there. It's a picture of Tveria, Tzfat, Yerushalayim, the Kotel, Hebron. And to me it was extremely inspiring to sit in a shul that where it was attempt to be destroyed, in a community that was uprooted and destroyed and decimated by the Nazis, and to see the walls of a shul that still stands with the paintings of the cities of Eretz Yisrael. And then you walk outside, and around the side of the building, etched in stone, is the pasuk from Yeshayahu Hanavi that we read on a fast day, a Ta'anit Tzibur. Venatati lechem yad vashem tov mibanim ubibanot. Shem olam eten lo brit olam labanim tiskor. God says, I will give you a yad vashem. The Brit, the covenant that I have struck with you will never falter, will always remain steadfast. There will always be a bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. to see that etched in stone. And say to yourself, all attempts in history to destroy us, all attempts in history to thwart our religious efforts are never successful. We remain. We are still here, still loyal, and still embracing the principles of what allows us to call ourselves Am Yisrael, and what allows us to follow Torah Yisrael. This Tisha B'Av, sure we cry. We cry because of the archives of history. But if we cry only because of those archives, then that is insufficient. Bacho, we cry Tivkeh. It initiates a response. We cry because we yearn and we are eager to rewrite history, to continue and perpetuate the future of the Jewish people, because that is precisely what allows us to survive. Nemirtz Hashem, if we're bacho, kedei shetivkeh, so that we can continue and see our future based on Torah and mitzvot and Jewish children, then we will be zoche not only to witness the reconstruction of Eretz Yisrael, but when the time comes, we will be able to stand with pride and to say as a generation and as a nation that we were responsible with reconstructing Yerushalayim, the Beit HaMikdash, and the Binyan HaDayad b'mhera b'yameinu. Amen. The question we can ask around the Shabbat table, this Parshat Ve'etchanan. The opening words of the Parsha are Ve'etchanan. What does the word Ve'etchanan mean, and why did Moshe use it at this particular time? The Pasuk says, at that time. Which time is Moshe referring to? Shabbat Shalom.